life and turn me around. Praise the Lord.
This time we'll turn it over to Brother Fields. Brother Fields, come preach to us. Just sing whatever you have. Just feel yourself at home. Make yourself at home here. All right. Everyone say, God bless Brother Fields.
God bless Brother Fields.
From Benton.
From Benton.
Come on, brother. I'll leave the rest off.
God bless.
I know what y'all are thinking about Benton. But everybody doesn't live on that side of the river. Amen. Now, Brother Crabtree almost does. He lives on the other side of the river. Matter of fact, amen. Now, they told him up in Batesville, they said, you're going where? They had the same thought you did. Amen. We're glad to be here tonight. And I just thank Brother Alverson for asking me to come. Of course, he did that with Brother Rutledge's permission. Amen. And I feel privileged to be here among you. I've already felt the Spirit of God, felt the touch of the Holy Ghost in this place. And that's important wherever you go, to feel a kindred spirit. I didn't always attend a United Pentecostal church. I've been in this way probably 13, 14 years now. But I grew up with Baptist. And tell you the truth, when I went to another city, to another Baptist church, I didn't feel at home. Matter of fact, there was a kind of a little bit of competition between the churches. And they'd fight and struggle to try to get you away from one church to another. It wasn't really a condition of whether you were saved or not. It was just whether you went to their church or not. Amen. I'm glad we've got a salvation that doesn't matter where you go. Amen. That you know that there is a God that's there with you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's really what they would like, and that's what I would like with their lives, with all of my children. I want God to do whatever He wants to with our lives. My two young girls, they're 6 and 8. The oldest one was first, with a little blonde head. And at age 7 years old, Dana received the Holy Ghost. But it was Erica's desire to get it first. And 2 weeks before she got it, Erica got it at 5 years old. Amen. So God's been good, and that can really happen. I've seen older people come to the altar and to pray, be up there pleading with God week after week, month after month, just seeking after God. And then all the time they were seeking after God, I saw another little 7-year-old girl. She just, after we were praying with that person for a while, she just got out of her pew and walked up there, and I just caught her out of the corner of my eyes, and she stood right there just for a minute. Tears just went boom, right down both sides. And she started speaking in tongues like that. Amen. We make it hard to get salvation, to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's like Simon the sorcerer, some would rather just take out a little money and buy it than to give up some things in their life that they've been doing wrong. Praise God. This living for God is something that's pure. And Jesus said, if you'd come unto me like little children, it's an easy way. Praise God. I want to turn to the Word of God. Exodus, the 20th chapter. And we'll be reading verses 18 through 21. Brother Alverson told me this was a youth service, so I'm going to be preaching a lot to the youth, although this can pertain to everybody. Amen. Exodus 20 and verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou for us, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, and that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Amen. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about a subject of yesterday's attitude. Yesterday's attitude. Amen. Brother Rutledge, I ask you to pray.
Our Lord, impress the word of God to our hearts. Still in our minds, the way
God
that we should travel.
Jesus.
Bless the speaker as he speaks to us tonight.
Hallelujah.
And on our ears to hear the word of God.
Oh, Lord God.
We ask your blessings in Jesus'
name. Praise be the name of God. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise.
Yesterday's attitude. Amen. Tonight we're looking at a scripture that speaks of something that was very magical, mystical to people of that day and time, to see a mountain smoking as it were on fire, thunderings and the noise of a trumpet, and all of these lightnings and things that were going on. Sometimes people get spooked just when you see the lightning and thunder of a storm that's coming. Some people go and find themselves a fraidy hole. You know what a fraidy hole is?
Yeah.
My wife's got an uncle. He won't get very far from a fraidy hole. He's got a little cabin up on the lake, and we went up there one time. He let us use that cabin to go up and take a vacation when we didn't have any money to do anything else. And so we just went up there and took her dad's boat, bass boat, and just kind of went around the lake and fished and just took some time off. But the man in the store said, yeah, whenever the storm comes, there's an old bus that's down the road there. It's in the side of a bank, and he'll run down there and sit in that old bus.
Yeah.
Her uncle does that because he's afraid. He built him a house that was like a trailer. Now, it was built on the same order of a trailer, but it was a regular house that they had built. But out back, it had a concrete patio, and underneath that concrete patio was a fraidy hole. Amen. He just had to have that around all the time just for security. People are like that. People fear one thing or another. Some people fear the dark. How many of you still get kind of queasy when you go out in the dark? Start walking through a dark alley someplace that you're not familiar with. You don't know what's there. Amen. People get afraid. But Moses going up to the mountain, they had seen the miracles and the things that God had done for them, how that God had led them out of Egypt. And then when they were in a tight place and didn't have anywhere to go, God came to their rescue and opened up the Red Sea that they could just cross and have no problem whatsoever. And Miriam and all of her dancers, they danced and they rejoiced, and they just felt so good about what God was doing for them, all the miracles that they had seen. And here we see Moses going into this place. They had been led by the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. They had seen God work with them. But yet in this place, they became fearful of what God was doing and about the way that God was talking unto them. Moses had come down off the mountain just previously and told them to sanctify themselves. And he had set boundaries up that they come not close to the mountain, because if they touch that mountain, they would die. And they were afraid of this God. And Moses tried to console them, and he said, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Praise God. All God wanted was that they would not sin.
Amen.
All God desired of them was they would not sin. But yet the attitude of the people of that day, the attitude of that people was that, Moses, you go up for us. Amen. Why don't you just do it for us, and we'll just sit back here, and whatever you say will be fine with us, Moses. And that was the attitude of the people. And that attitude rocked on in this group of people for a while, until finally Moses would go up and come back down. And then he went up for 40 more days. Had a time with God where God was giving him tablets, and God was giving him instructions concerning the tabernacle plan, and God was showing him many things while he was there on the mountain. And the people got together with Aaron and said that this man Moses, we don't know where he's gone to. We don't know if he'll ever come back. And they desired of Aaron to make them a god. And that's when the god came to be of the golden calf. And not only did they have that god, but they danced around that god naked. After they had had themselves a feast, after they had had themselves a time when they ate and they drank and they had a good time of fellowship, Aaron made them to dance around that golden calf naked. And whenever Moses came down off of that mountain, it was the opinion of God that they should be struck dead and that he would give Moses another people. But Moses somehow begged God that I could have these people, that surely they could be turned around. Amen. I guess there was never a greater pastor than Moses ever upon the face of the earth. Praise God. And Moses even came down and he became angry with what he had seen. And he took that golden calf and he melted it all down and he put it in the water and made them drink the water. And he rebuked them for the things that they were doing. Oh, what a terrible thing that had happened there to Israel that day. Amen. Praise God. That was yesterday's attitude. Amen. I don't like to get too loud because some people have turned me off. They're just wanting to get away from the place. But yesterday's attitude, amen, the attitude of you do it for me, hallelujah, you do it for me, and that attitude could be today's attitude very easily. Praise God. Amen. We're living in a time when there's a lot of things going on. We're not just out in a desert place like they were. We didn't just have to sit around and watch a mountain crackle and smoke with fire and be afraid of the next moment. There's a lot of things going on in this world today. And I want you to know that young people today have a lot of things to get them in trouble. Adults do too. Praise God. And I want you to know that there's a lot of things that will attract you and they'll crackle. They'll pop, they'll smoke. They've got lights out on the street that'll pull you away from God's house. They've got some things that will attract you away from the things of God. And it's very easy for us to say and to use the same attitude that they had of yesterday. Amen. Yesterday's attitude. Let the pastor do it. Amen. Brother, you just go up and you talk to God. And whatever you hear from God, you tell us, and that'll be just fine with us. Amen. You know how far that attitude went? It never worked. Amen. He come down and he talked with them and he told them that you shouldn't have any other gods. Amen. This God said, don't have any other gods before me. And yet, what did they do? When he was away, amen. And sometimes I think those people with yesterday's attitude are just waiting when the preacher gets away. They're just waiting for a time when church is not around. Hallelujah. Amen. Yesterday's attitude. And I'm talking about something tonight that I know that young people know what I'm talking about. Amen. It takes some gumption to do it yourself. Takes some gumption to walk up the mountain yourself, because when you walk up the mountain, there's not going to be many people that walk up that mountain with you. Because they'll be saying, just like they did back then, you go on up, we'll come up later, or we'll just let you go for us. Praise God. Young people today, sometimes they don't necessarily have the experience that the older ones have had. And I think past experiences are one of the best blessings that I've got in my life. I've had some times when I've been alone with God. I've had miraculous things to happen in my life. Before I'd ever come to a United Pentecostal church, and before I'd ever heard one God message in my life, God showed me a vision of the church that I'm going to that taught me this way. It was on a bright, sunshiny morning on a Sunday. God showed me the church. Nobody had ever preached to me. Nobody had ever witnessed to me. I'd have died and gone to hell if I'd have died in Vietnam. Amen. But I want you to know that there's some things in my past that have helped me through times of trouble. Times when I didn't know which way to turn and I felt like that I was right on the edge. Amen. I was at a place where I could have gone in or out. I believe God will always take you to the edge. Because one thing that God wants to find out in each individual is a choice. Hallelujah. Amen. God will never tempt you or try you more than you can escape from. He'll always make a way of escape. But God took me to the edge so that I could look at the choice. And it was things back in my past, the miraculous things that God had done for me, that made the big difference.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, young people today, sometimes they think that miracles, that's what mom and dad does. You know, they have that happen in their life. And some of you folks that started this church, you've seen a lot of things happen. You've seen the power of God move in special ways, and a lot of you shout. How many of you young people shout? Raise your hand. Be honest with me. All right, there's some of them. Hey, that's a good feeling, isn't it? You can't tell anybody how you feel when you shout. You're dancing in the Spirit of God. You can't tell anybody how you feel when that happens, because there's something about the power of God that gets upon you in that state. Amen. I have jumped over pews and fell over pews over this thing and knocked me plumb back over on the other side of the altar. People thought I was dead, and I just got up and shouted some more. Amen. Bucked and snorted and had a good time. And I believe that's something that young people need to do in church. Amen. I believe it's something. After 6 months, I finally woke up and looked around. I said, well, why ain't everybody else shouting?
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest trials I ever went through, when I realized nobody else was out there with me. I thought, what's wrong with them? And I began to pray for them. It was such a burden, I couldn't handle it all, and I had to give it up and say, God, they're yours. I went back to shouting again. Praise God. Now, some folks that just don't want to go up to the mountain. Hallelujah. And what I'm telling you today is about some young people that I grew up with when I first got in church there. Some of them thought I was weird. Some of them didn't want to be around me for a while. But after we got to having them prayer meetings down in the basement, amen, before service, we'd get there 30 minutes and an hour before service and have ourselves prayer meeting, so we didn't get up to service on time. And thank God we didn't have one of those pastors that says you better be up there at service on time. I don't care what spiritual moves down there. We had some times when the Spirit of God moved so strong that none of us could get upstairs, even if He wanted us upstairs, because we were slain in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. One time we come dragging upstairs late, and the service hadn't even started yet. Amen. It was right when the time when the service was supposed to start. And you know what happened? The Spirit of God was moving so strong down there in that basement. Just a bunch of young people now. The elders hadn't joined us yet, but they did. They decided something was going on down there. The Spirit of God moving so thick that it got up in the auditorium. When we got upstairs, they were all up the front of the church weeping and praying and praising God. Amen. You know, there's something special about the touch of the Spirit of God when it'll move in your life. Amen. And I don't mean to be breaking down any things, but I'm looking at something spiritual tonight. I'm looking at something spiritual tonight. I don't mean that we ought to go down and pray and just stay down there just to be, rebellious. Amen. But when God's really doing something, it makes a difference. Amen. And you know, there were young people that were doing a lot of things back then. They were doing tongues and interpretation. Spirit of God moved upon them. How many of you young people have ever had that happen to you? Amen. You've given tongues interpretation. Amen. How about prophecy? Huh? No, no, they're not. I can't say that. Amen, because I'm a... Amen. What I'm saying is, the earlier church here, they had that happen. There's a lot of that going on, wasn't there, brother?
Some.
Oh, yeah, you'll have some people come in church that they just go around trying to help churches. I'm talking about your members. Amen. Amen. We don't want those artificial $10 bills. Praise God. What I'm getting at tonight is something that you can get from God. Amen. It's been said many times over that we don't want to live on mom and dad's experience. Can't do it. My mom and dad wasn't in this way. None of my family was. Hallelujah. I was hoping that they'd get in it. My mom still got a chance. Praise God. But I want you to know that there's some things that you can get in God. And you can get them if you're willing to make a sacrifice to get it. Amen. I just started teaching a teen class. And it goes all the way up through high school. And I asked them, what do you think about this Sunday school class? I asked them to be honest with me. And you know what they thought? They thought it was boring. I just started. Thank God. I wouldn't ask them that if I'd been there 3 years. No. No, I might too if God told me to do it. No, I'm interested in seeing people really get what they need. And I asked them, I said, well, is it boring? I said, wonder why it's boring. They didn't know. I had them read for me. Had one person read the lesson. I asked one young man that was sitting over in the corner, I said, well, what's the lesson about this morning? He didn't know. I said, well, who was it about? He didn't know. I said, well, she just read it. Could you tell me who it was talking about? It was about Peter. You know, something real easy. He didn't know. I said, how come you don't know? He said, I wasn't listening. Amen. And I asked him, I said, maybe sometimes it's boring because you don't want to be a participant. You don't get anything out of it because you don't put anything into it. Praise God. And maybe it's that way with church services. With anything that you do in church. You know, boring, you know, praying can be boring. It can be. Amen. It can be boring to fast. Believe me, it can be boring. Amen. But if you're looking at really getting something out of it, it's a different story. Amen. It's a different story. And I want to tell you, I challenged them and asked them, I said, what would you like to do? And I gave them some things that would bring about a spiritual happening. And I suggested one. I said, I'll tell you what would be a good idea. How would you like to have an all-night prayer meeting? All-night prayer meeting. They thought about it and thought, man, I don't know if I can pray all night. I said, well, it'll take a little drive, a little going through. And finally they decided, well, all right, we'll try it. We'll try it. And these young people didn't have an experience among their own peer group. There weren't the people, some of them had received the Holy Ghost, but there weren't these things going on. Listen, I'm telling you about some young people. One Christmas banquet we had one of our young people sitting there telling one of the other young people everything the pastor was fixing to say before he said it. I'm talking about the Spirit of God moving on a young person, not just the elders. And some of the young people might tend to think, well, let one of the adults go up for us. You know what? This attitude of yesterday's attitude wasn't the young people that had the attitude. It was the old people. You know what young people want to do? They got different attitudes. They got different ways of doing things. All the old people don't understand. But the old people did understand. They didn't want to go up. And that was yesterday's attitude and older people's attitudes that didn't want to go up. And the young people today are different. We don't want to go up. Are they different? Are you so much different than anybody else that walked down the road? Amen. Has it got to be such a different thing that you've got a different attitude about church? And you've seen where other people didn't want to go up and you wanted to go up? Sometimes the young people fall in the same categories. Same things. Oh, they dress a little different. They have a little different idea about, you know, where to go and what to do and all of those things. But listen, we had that all-night prayer meeting. And we had testimonies afterwards. One young man said that, no, I didn't pray very much. That first few hours, of course, we didn't just steady pray. We had some cheese dip and stuff like that. And yeah, we prayed for a while and we cheese dip for a while. We did what they did in the book of Acts. We had prayer and then we had fellowship. Yeah. Yeah, they prayed and then they broke bread. That's right. We had a good time. We prayed and then we went down, had some cheese dip, and then we went back up and we prayed with a prayer clock and changing different ways to pray every 5 minutes. And then we went back down and had some more cheese dip, and then we went back up and did some other things. And all night long, this went on. In the wee hours of the morning, we had discussion. And then we had a prayer circle, 4 to 5 o'clock. Amen. And everybody's going to get in a circle. I told them before we started, I said, make up your mind to get something tonight. Get something out of this. What do you want from church? What is it that nobody else has been able to supply you to make it non-boring? What do you really want from church? And those young people, amen, began to pray in that circle. And some of them got in there. I knew they weren't praying. Some of the young men got in there. But there was a young man that had been brought on bus ministry for years. And we don't do the bus ministry like they used to do the bus ministry anymore. We just pick up the ones that want to come because we ran out of money for bus ministry. But we brought this young man for years, and Sister Crabtree had brought him from out there where she lived. And he came and he came, and he got in the middle of that circle. God began to move on him. And those young people told in their testimony, said, I knew something was fixing to happen. And that young man filled the Holy Ghost, and it got some of them stirred up. And there was another young man that had come as a visitor. And I don't really know what he had thought. He told us afterwards, he said, I thought all y'all were crazy. And that young man began to pray, and all those people were thinking, well, surely nothing will happen to him because he was making derogatory remarks all night long. Well, we got to praying, and brother, he got to shaking. The power of God was moving, and he began to shake and to quiver. And for long, I'd tell him, I said, praise God, praise God. Worship, worship. And he was there, and his friend was holding him up. And I told him, and then God just locked me in on him, and I just realized where he was. I said, whoo, man, James, that's good, isn't it? And he said, he was drunk. He's drunk as a skunk. This guy, he just come to church a very few times, thought we was crazy. He's not of this religious persuasion. But I want you to know that young man stood there, and then finally he was like this, and his buddy was holding him up. I said, James, praise God, and get another more, a little bit more of that. And he said, sure. Finally, whop. Fell on the floor. He was laying there, and we all got the spirit of laughter. You ever had the spirit of laughter? Huh? Hey, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God can get on everybody. Some young girls testified after myself and a few others were up there by him praying and got the spirit of laughter, and we'd laugh at anything. It didn't matter. It didn't even have to be funny. Praise God. And God can just get on you that way. And they said, wonder if this is catchy. And for long they were doing it. It was catchy. And everybody had such a good time. And they marveled and they praised God for what had gone on. And the testimonies about what had happened were just wonderful. You know why that happened? Because they got rid of yesterday's attitude and they went up for themselves.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What is it you don't like about church? Amen. Now some of you adults probably think that they like everything about church. But I know they don't. Amen. Now I know there's some of them that do, Brother Rutledge. But deep down in young people, they want something for themselves. And y'all know what we're talking about. Amen. You know where we're living. And some of you that's got attitudes that are cocky, and you don't believe what I'm saying, there were kids in that Sunday school that were just the same way. They were to the point where they were almost out of church. And they'll tell you right now, I wish I'd had them down here and they'd testify to you. Some of them hadn't spoken tongues in years. And I won't have you raise your hands. Amen. But tell yourself, how long's it been since you spoke in tongues? Praise God. Amen. Experience for yourself. And don't take an adult attitude and say that, let somebody else go up for me. Amen. Can you feel that? Think about it. All the way back then. And what happened? They ended up building a golden calf. Spirit of God's ministering strong right now. Think about it. You know what I told the adults that Sunday morning? I didn't want to take any credit for myself, but I told them, I said, listen, if we were to die, all the adults and young people above age 18 was to die, we'd have a church in Benton, Arkansas, I'm sure of it. After that night, I was just as sure as I can be, because I feel like that there were some of those young people whenever the battle was raging, like some of those that become leaders in the Bible. The battle was raging and there was nobody to man the post. There was some young person that would come up and grab a sword and just jump right in there and man the battle. I don't believe you young people want to not see a church here in Pine Bluff like this one. Amen. Though sometimes you might get a little backwards in your ideas toward church, I believe the real truth of the matter is that you really want a church here. And if all the adults were gone, you'd get afraid and you would man the battle stations and you'd take over and God would use you. Amen. Because I believe that's in our young people. I believe you've heard enough of the truth. What we need is spirit. Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. What we need is a fresh renewing of the Spirit of God in our lives. Praise God. Sometimes we can have so much truth, but it takes spirit and truth in the church. It takes more than just learning about this thing. It's a real, true-to-life experience with God. Sometimes you've got to go up to that mountain for yourself and get yourself some of that lightning. Get yourself some of that thunder. Get yourself some of the power of God down in your soul. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for those times in my life, because you know what? This old boy right here would have been gone without that. I kept asking him in the church that I had attended before, what else? What else? What else? And then I took my time and decided church really wasn't much to it like they said it was. And then I was on drugs. Then I was on alcohol and all other things. And some of you young people could be very close. Amen. Adults, we live in a world today that can snatch them like that. Some of the young people in Pentecostal churches can very quickly go out into the world and put on the pretense to really be in church like that. They're looking for the time. I've seen them as soon as they could get away from mom and daddy, never come back to church. Amen. Somehow we've got to keep the young people. Somehow the young people have got to remain in church so that we can really see, why in the world does it have to be a young person like me without a mama and daddy in church that comes and preaches the gospel? Hallelujah. Why does it have to be that way, young people? You think about it. Who am I? I've never had any background in church. All the experience I had with God was at 13 years of age in a Baptist church, and I repented of my sins and not given anything spiritual as a result of it besides the little touch of God that He gave me. Amen. Why does it have to be like that? Could it be there's somebody else willing to take your battle station? Hallelujah. You think about it. Yesterday's attitude left everybody above the age of 20 years old to die in the wilderness, except just for one, two, or three. A couple of people. Joshua and Caleb. Just two that returned the good report. Said, we can do it because they believed in God. That's something. Yesterday's attitude died in the wilderness. It took a new attitude, a new group of people, a new generation to come up. Yesterday's attitude. And sometimes, young people, your attitude's no different than the older attitudes. Now there's older people too that can get the same attitude. Let the pastor do it all. He can't do it all. And God said unto Moses, it wasn't God, it was Jethro, his father-in-law. He said, man, you can't do it all. He said, you need some folks to help you and put your spirit on all of them that they can help minister. And God blessed that. And these young men up here, just like myself from Brother Crabtree's church, have been given the helping hand, but there needs to be more. Amen. How much of a percentage of this city have we really captured? How much of the young people are we really reaching? And the young people has got to be the exciting part of church. They got the most activity. They got the most go and go get it. And I believe if we can ever get the young people turned on, then we'll have it. What do you say? Let's stand. Hallelujah. I know that you probably think I've just rambled on and ranted. And I hope you don't think that, really. Because really there is a sweet presence of God here that really wants to do a work. But it can't work without you. It won't work without you. Hallelujah. It's looking for a young people that'll finally make up their mind that I'm going to go up. I don't want someone to have to go for me. There's preachers, teachers. There's all kinds of special workers that can come right out of you. And believe you me, it's the churches that have neglected their youth that are just barely hanging on today with the church. You neglect the youth, you neglect tomorrow. Hallelujah. What about it tonight? Is everything all right?
Got to walk that lonesome.
Hallelujah.
You got
Would you like to come and tell God? I mean, don't make promises you can't keep, but just tell Him, I want to try. I really want to try, God. I want some special experiences in my life. I want to be the one that gives the tongues and the interpretation of tongues.
I want to be the one that's used. Amen. The Bible says you can all do it, one after another. Amen. Some people try to cut down all that spirituality, but I want you to know that there's a power of God that can get upon a church where everybody in the church can give tongues and interpretation.
You gotta walk.
There's a power of God that can move into the church where God will move on you and you become a preacher out on the street. You become a preacher in your backyard. You become the one that God uses. And I'll tell you one thing, it's just like these people that have shouted and danced in the Spirit. There's something about it that you just can't explain to somebody else. But there's many, many, many that says, oh, you go up for me. I don't want to go up. How about it, young people? Do you like something special from God? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
When
I
God
hope maybe I've said something.
Dipped his pen of love in my heart.
Hope maybe I've said something tonight that'll encourage you to do something different. Amen. If you've been doing good, been praying right, and I ask our young people, I said, how many of you pray at least 5 minutes a day? How many of you pray at least 30 minutes a week? You know what? I had to get down to 10 minutes a week before I could ever get 50% and better. You go up for me. Whatever you say will be all right. But it won't get you saved.